Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us today from Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 26 reads, "It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." This is God's word. You want to know what bugs me? Of course you do. I get a little perturbed when I go to a restaurant and someone who is seated well after me gets their food first. Now, I admit that kind of waiting is trivial. There are other kinds of waiting that can really break your heart and put your faith to the test. Waiting quietly is not something we normally think of as a biblical virtue. Love? Sure. Kindness and compassion? Of course. Maybe even patience. But waiting quietly? That's something, A, we probably don't think of, and B, aren't very good at, if we're being candid. The way the world is geared, combined with our human nature, doesn't place much of a premium on waiting quietly. We're infinitely more interested in instant gratification, instant messaging, instant results. We prefer fast food and faster service, and there's no slowdown in sight. That means something has to give when we don't get our way right away. It gets confusing and perplexing when we bring a hurry-up attitude to our relationship with God. And one thing a mature Christian has learned by experience is that God's timing is always perfect, and it usually bears little resemblance to the timing we would prefer. It can be a hard lesson to learn and relearn, but the payoff is a peace of mind and heart that money can't buy as we grow to trust in the loving character of God. The prophet Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations, and I'm willing to bet that Lamentations is not at the top of your list of inspirational reading material. After all, it's a book of lamenting, of crying. It's a sad book. Jeremiah's country, Judah, has just been destroyed by a foreign nation. His favorite city, Jerusalem, was ruined. Just a pile of rocks now, with smoke rising up to the sky. It was truly a 9/11 type of situation, but worse. Most of the people of Judah were either dead or had been taken prisoner, and Jeremiah was one of those prisoners. What makes it doubly tragic is the fact that God's people, leaders and normal folks together, had brought it on themselves by ignoring God and doing their own thing. Lamentations is not easy reading, but I don't mean the language is hard to understand. I mean it might mirror a little too accurately the way that we live. Yet having said that, there's something truly inspiring and beautiful here. Jeremiah is inspired to write in the face of all the suffering, loss, and grief that you could imagine, the following words. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." And a few verses later it says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men." God's people had been put in a situation where the only thing they could do was wait for the Lord to provide a solution. They had no power whatsoever. All they could do was trust that the Lord would deliver them. And And it's that thought that gives Jeremiah great hope and courage. Why? Because Jeremiah knows what the Lord is like. He knows the Lord's personality. He knows that God longs for things to be good between himself and his creation. And because Jeremiah knows the Lord, he trusts him to do the right thing. And the Lord did. He used the tragedy of Judah's destruction to bring the survivors back to him. Many of the survivors of Judah would repent of their sin and come back to God. And years later, the survivors actually did return to Judah and rebuilt the city. And eventually, the Messiah is brought right into the temple itself as a newborn baby, just as God had promised. God never fails, but he works at his own speed. It's rarely the speed at which we want him to work, but it is the perfect speed. And while we wait, he gives us all the time we need to look in the mirror, to study the reflection, to see where the problem just might be me and my sin. And we're not to deny that sin. We're not to try to cover it up, but just own it. Admit it. Confess it. And when you do that, God gives you what his people waited so long to receive, the blessing of his Messiah, the full pardon and forgiveness created by Jesus' death on the cross. And did you notice? After Jesus' death came quiet waiting. His lifeless body was placed in a tomb. For Jesus' followers, family, and friends, it must have been agonizing, completely heartbreaking. They had no idea that their wait would be broken by the biggest plot twist in history. Think of it. Jesus was buried, entombed, waiting for Easter sunrise. It is good to wait quietly for the Lord, because you're waiting on someone who always shows up and always follows through in just the right way and at just the right time. Great is our Lord's faithfulness to us. Let's take one silent minute to reflect on that. Let's pray. Loving Father, send us your Holy Spirit, and by your word, teach us everything that it means to believe that it is good for one to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.